Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is the Yevamos Ayin Beis. We are actually holding at the 13th line from the top of the Amud. Getting back to Mitzvahs Mila, Amar Rav Huna, Dvar Torah. We're meant to know that Min HaTorah, once a child had a bris performed to him, even if the flesh drags down and covers up the area, done is done. He is mohol. That's Min HaTorah. Min HaTorah, Moshuch. Rashi on the right side explains, Moshuch means mohol. He had a milah. But then what happened was, Shenimshuch Arla, say the skin above the milah area, dragged down. V'chisasa Atarah, and covered up the area, specifically the Atarah, which is the raised flesh at the tip of the Aver. So once that gets covered up, that gets concealed, it appears like he had no bris. So Min HaTorah, that's not a concern, because he had a milah. But Midrabanan, we have to repair that. Remove that skin that's covering up the area. Amar Rav Huna, Dvar HaTorah Moshuch, a fellow who's experiencing this extended skin, Eichel Betruma, he's not an Aral, he can have Teruma. Umedivreim, it's only Midrabanan, Gazru Alav, they don't allow Teruma, in this case, until he repairs the issue, Mepnei Shenira Ka'aral, because it looks, he appears like an Aral, it's Marisa Ayin, we're concerned about the observer, who may mistaken him for an Aral. So Rav Huna says, a Chiddush, that Midrabanan, we consider him an Aral. Not only do we have to remedy the situation, but for the time being, he is treated as an Aral, no Teruma. Meisve, here comes a Kasha. The Brisa says, Mashuch, this fellow, Tzorach Sheyimol, he needs to attend to it. Sounds like he's not really, so it sounds like Min HaTorah. Mashuch, Tzorach Sheyimol, Min HaTorah, he has an obligation to attend to it. Answers the Gemara, it's only Midrabana. Or the Ka'arila, the one who asked the Kasha, my Ka'arila, what was he thinking? Hatzorech Ketani. The Braisa just says, look, he has to take care of it. There's no indication that it's more than a Midrabana. What was the Kasha on Rav Huna? Katai Besefa, the one who presented the Kasha, was sort of misled by the Seifa. The wording in the next part of the Braisa seemed to indicate that it's more than Midrabban. Why? So Tanakhama says, Mashuch Tzorach Sheyimol, go ahead and take care of it. Rabbi Do Omer Lo Yimol, don't do it. Don't take her with the area because it can lead to Sakana, Bnesha Sakana Hiloi. What's the Sakana? Says Rashi off to the right. She Sakana Hiloi, Shome Yasa Krush Shafcha. You might get damaged in the area, in which case you won't be able to bear children. Don't take the chance. That is Rabbi Yehuda. Amr Loi, Chacham responded, there's no concern. Look, we have much experience in this area. In the time of Ben Kaziva, it so happened that many Jews needed this procedure, and it worked fine, and they were able to bear children. Says Rashi to the right, Bimei Ben Kaziva, what happened over there, the story was as follows. The Goyim forced them to present themselves this way. They pulled the skin over the milah to conceal their milah. It was be'enis, forcefully. Bekrach Beitar, the famous metropolis called Beitar. Vegover Yad Ben Kaziva, and then Ben Kaziva took rule. He took over Nilcham Behem, and he was victorious over the Goyim v'Natzcham. U'malach al Yisrael Shteshan v'mechza. He was actually the Melech for 2.5 years, and some actually thought that he was Mashiach, Rabbi Kiva amongst them. So the Jews experienced a resurgence, v'chazru u'malo b'yamav, and they redid their milah to undo the effect of the Goyim being Moshech their Arla. And it worked fine. V'yilidu banu b'bani, says the Gemara, they bore children, many children, shenemar. In fact, you have a pasuk that one is meant to repair this Meshicha, himol yimol. Why the repetition, himol yimol? It teaches, afilu mea pa'amim. Do it again and again. Tend to it until it's fully and properly performed. Va'omer, we have another pasuk which alludes to this situation. Es brisi hefar. What is the pasuk referring to? L'rabbi says hamashuch. Even after bris, if it was mashuch, you have to go take care of it. My v'omer, why do we need a second pasuk? Once we already have the first, v'chitema, perhaps I would say, hi, himol yimol. The first pasuk is l'rabbi tzitzen ha'ma'akvan esamila. We discussed this yesterday. We have some strands of flesh which were not removed initially at the first point of Mila. Perhaps that's what the pasuk is coming to tell you. Take care of those. Uncover the Atara. But once it's done, even if it's covered up afterwards by some more flesh sort of dragging down and concealing the area, perhaps that's not a concern. Tashma, that's why the second pasuk comes and says, Es brisi hefar, which is l'rabbis es hamashach, to allude to this fellow. Okay, now, who's Savar? The one who presented this price as a kasha to Rav Huna, he figured mit the kanosiv la'ashas kro, since the price is quoting a pasuk as a basis for tending to the mashach fellow, d'iraisi, that is certainly indicative that this is a mitzvah d'iraisi, not just mid-rabbanan, but lo'i, it's incorrect, mid-rabbanan, it's really only mid-rabbanan, it's maris ayin. Ukra, why do we quote a pasuk? In fact, two psukim, asmach tabam, is just a support, a remez in the Torah Shebichsav for this halacha of Torah Shebalpe. Meisvei, here comes another kasha on Rav Huna. Again, Rav Huna tells us that a mashuch is considered an aral mid rabbana, no teruma for the time being. Bryce says, tumtum, a fellow whose gender simonim are covered up, he's a safek. Unsure whether he's an ish or an isha, no truma for him, Rashi explains. Rashi on the right. Tumtum ein oichel betruma, shema im hoya nikra yimotze zachar. Perhaps if he was uncovered, it would be discovered that he's a zachar. And guess what? Vareyu aral, without a meal, he's an aral. So a tumtum in that state is a safik aral. Nosha vavodav, his wife and slaves, however, oichel, they can have truma. Mashuch, our fellow, the mashuch, or v'neilat keshuma, who is born with Mila, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Hare Elu Oichlim, they can have Terumah. So it's pretty clear that a Moshech is not considered an Earl. Furthermore, Androgynous, this androgynized, the fellow with the double simonim of Zachar Nekeva, and Rashi adds the word Mohol, Mila was performed on the Eivar HaZachar, Oichl Betrumah, he can have Terumah. V'ein oichel b'kachem, but not kachem. You know why? Because he's sort of a combined entity. Or maybe a suffix. We're not sure whether he's ish or isha. An isha can't have kachem. But truma he can have. Me'man of shach. Either way. Either he's an ish. He's fine because we did mila. Either an isha, it's also fine. Or he's a new breed. Rashi says, bria b'fnei atzma. He's not ish, not isha. Nor none of the above. A new phenomenon. Why can't he eat truma? Fact is, he's an offspring of a kohen. So either way, he's okay with truma. And the Braisa concludes with sort of a repetition, which the Gemara soon will tend to. Once again, back to the tumtum, the fellow who's covered up. Eino eichel lebe truma v'le kachem, no truma, no kachem for him. Ketanimiyas. Let's just go back a second to the previous halacha. We said mashuch, right? Our friend, the mashuch. V'noilat geshumol, or that case. Hare eilu eichlin. They're okay with truma. This is tiyufta, the Rav Huna tiyufta, a refutation, a Rav Huna's chiddush, that a mashach is considered an oral mid rabbanon with no truma. Clearly, the brayse allows him to have truma. And actually, Rashi had a different girsa, and he says that's the ikar girsa that we actually bring a riot to Rav Huna, that the brayse is only speaking minatoyra. A mashach is not oral because he had a bris, and therefore he can have his Truma min HaTorah, but Midrabanan, of course, Maris Ayin, appearance counts, and we don't allow it. So it's actually a Raya to Rav Huna. Amar, let's go back to the Braisa, which concluded with the following statement. Tumtum eino eichel betruma. Sorry, this is back in the beginning of the Braisa. A tumtum may not have Truma. Why? Because he may be a Zohar, and a Zohar with no bris is an Oral. But Nasha Vavad of Eichlim, his wife, and Avodim can have. Asks the Gemara, a wife to a Tumtum? He can't marry. Noshav lo Tumtum minoli. How does a Tumtum have a wife? Ilay mit the Kaddish. Did he do Kiddushin? And that can work. The Sanya Tumtum Shekidesh. When Tumtum performs Kiddushin, Kiddush of Kiddushin, we reckon with it. He's Mekadesh and Isha. He's considered his wife. Likewise, Niskadesh, if an Isha is Mekadesh, the Tumtum, assuming that he's in the Keva, Kedush of Kedushin here as well, the Kedushin takes hold. Oh, that's Lechumra. You need a get, etc. Emor de Amr Lechumra. You have to reckon with the chance that perhaps he's a woman, and he could be Niskadesh. You have to reckon with the fact that he's a man, and he could be Mekadesh. Lechumra, but Lekula Miyamrinan. You can't apply this concept Lekula. You can't grant privileges. You can't consider the Tumtum's wife like a proper wife, which allows her Teruma. Safek Isha, you don't know if he's an Isha and Isha. On account of the Tzad of Isha, well, Ve'in Isha Mekadesh as Isha. Of course, an Isha can't be Mekadesh another Isha. So how can the Tumtum's wife, so to speak, have Kedushin and have Teruma? Amar Abayi was speaking about a unique case. Well, you know for a fact that he's a Zohar. Kishabetzov, the Beitzei HaZohar, the testicles, Nil Kreis Mbachutz. On the courage from the outside, you know that he's a Zohar. He's covered up. He's still an Arl, because you haven't really removed the Arl skin, but you know for a fact that he's a Zohar. It's interesting. Taisus points this out back on the of Ayin. He has no Chiv of Mila. Interesting. He doesn't have to go to a hospital and go through a surgical procedure to uncover his Mila area. He doesn't need to do that. There's no Chiv to do that. He can remain in this state. There's no Chiv Mila, but Taisus points this out as well. Interesting, even though he doesn't have a Chiv Mila, so practically, he doesn't have to go to a Mila. But technically, he is an Arl. In this case, he's certainly an Arl. You know that he's a Zachar. You see the Beitz and Bachutz, and therefore, no Truma for him. But, if he married, if he was Mekadesh and Isha, since you have determined his identity, he's a man, his Kedushin with his Isha is valid, she's his wife, and she could have Truma. He can't, but she could. As we learned back in the Mishnah, Daf Ayin, an Oral can't have Truma, but his wife could. That's Abai's approach. So the Beitza Manikar. Rava says, Rava Amar, we're not speaking about his wife. It's an ordinary Tumtum, gender unknown. Rava Amar, my Noshav. When the Mishnah says, Noshav, his women could have Truma, Ima, it means his mother. So, mother was a Bas Yisrael, married to a Kohen who passed away, leaving behind this Tumtum as an offspring. She continues eating Truma on account of him. Well, Ima Pshita, of course, why not? Why wouldn't his mother have access to Truma? Her husband, the Kohen, left behind a child. Ma'od Atema, perhaps I would say, he doesn't count. Only a Moilid, a child who can continue the legacy, can continue bearing children. It says, Yelid Beisai, right? The Pasuk says that you have to be Yelid, and Rashi says, perhaps we'll say, Ro'i Lahoilid. He has to continue. You know, the family tradition, he has to have children and continue the legacy of the father. So only that type of child can allow his mother to have Truma. Moilid Machl, Sh'ein Moilid, but one who can't bear children, such as a Tumtum in this state, Einoi Machl can't feed his mother, Kamash Malon, there's no concern, no difference. Any type of child will allow his mother Truma. Toshma. Now let's go back to the end of that brice, which sort of repeated the same halacha. Again, Tumtum Eino Ichel V'loi B'Truma V'loi B'Kotchem. Tumtum can't have Truma or Kotchem. Why the repetition? The brice already told us that a Tumtum can't have Truma. So now, Bishlem Ela Abaye, it works according to Abaye, who said that in the first example of Tumtum, it was a Beitz of Nikoris Mbachutz situation, in which case you have determined his identity as a Zohar. Therefore, the Braisa saw reason to repeat the Halacha. Tana Reisha Oral Vadei. First, the Braisa begins with a Vadei Oral, when his identity is discernible. He's a Zohar inside, and he's an Oral. Don't have Truma. Uktani Seifa, Safik Oral. And then the Braisa concludes with another citing of a similar halacha. A Tumtum can't have Truma. He was speaking about a standard Tumtum, whose gender is still unknown. Question mark. He's a Safik Oral. And it's sad that he's a Zohar, he's an Oral. And the Chiddush there is that even a Safik Oral can't have Truma. So according to Abai, each part of the Braisa has a Chiddush. Elo l'Rava. But according to Rava, the Reisha and Seif are both the same type of case. Gender unknown. tumtum to say falamali, why repeat the halacha again? Answers the Gemara, my tumtum. You know what the Braisa means by saying tumtum? Oral. He means a vadai oral. He's an oral. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Why discuss an oral? Once you've told me that a tumtum who is a suffic oral can't have truma, of course a vadai oral. Hashta suffic oral loy achel. If a suffic can't eat, vadai oral achel. Why would a vadai oral eat? The Braisa meant to explain itself. Once I've told you that a tumtum who is a suffic oral can't eat, I want to come explain it to you. Ma tam kamar. At the end, the Braisa recaps the halacha and explains itself. Ma tam tumtum in eichel betruma. What's wrong with the tumtum discussed in the Reisha eating truma? Because it's suffic oral. It might be a zachar and an oral. And an oral can't have truma or kachem. So, in effect, when the Braisa at the very end says a tumtum can't have, it means to say an oral can't have. Why even mention it? As a way of explaining the halacha and the reisha. Tumtum, who's a suffic oral, can't have, continues the Braisa and says, a tumtum, meaning, what's wrong with a tumtum? Because he might be a vadai oral. And a vadai oral, a tumtum in this case is a reference to a vadai oral, can't have truma or kach. Lema katanoi, perhaps, Rav Huna's halach, that a moshach is only chayiv and milah midrabanan, perhaps it's based on a machlokes tanoim. Some will hold it's d'oraisa, and some only with the Rabbanon. The Braisa begins with Moshech, this fellow. The ger shen is gar kishu mo, a ger who converted already having done the bris, in which case you have to actually generate new dam, it's called a tafas dam bris, to complete the mila process. The katan shavar zmanai, or a newborn, past his eighth day. Ushar kal nemoilim, all the types of mila situations. L'asuyi to include a case of Mishiyesh Leshte Arles, he has a double skin. For some reason over here, we don't do it Bizmanoi. All these are examples of a Mila, which is past the eighth day. Einon Nimoylin Elabiyayim. The question is as follows. A Mila on the eighth day takes place Bayayim, U Bayayim Ashmini, Yimol Besar Alasa. Or Shivas Yomim, we have a Drasha, Mar Shabbos, which teaches us that Mila is Dafka B'yayim. What about if it's past the eighth day? All these types of situations. You do Mila, but it's past the eighth day. Tanakama maintains it needs to be done B'yayim. B'yayim is an absolute element in Mitzvah's Mila. Rabbi Leder, B'Shimon, Omer, all depends. Bizman. When a Mila is performed on time, Ein Nimoylan al B'yayim, you're right, during daytime. But shaloi bezmanai, a mila performed after the eighth day, nimoylan v'yayim u'balayla, can do it by day or night. End quote. Maila b'kemifliki, it appears that the machlekes in this braisa revolves around our question. The first case in the braisa discussed a mashach. The maras of a mashach doiraisa. Tanakama, who insists on addressing the mashach during daytime, he holds it's a proper mila min ha-Torah, you need daytime. Like a regular meal. Omar Sava Mashach the Rabbanah. Rabbi Shimon says, no, Mashach is only to be tended to in the Rabbanah. Do it whenever you want. Here we go. It's a Machlekes. Whether it's the Reis of the Rabbanah. Vitispera. How can you even suggest that that's the point of Machlekes? That's not the only case in the Reis. So what about the Katan Shavar's money? A newborn, past the eighth day. Mi'ikulaman the Omar the Rabbanah. How can you say it's dependent upon these factors? The Reis of the Rabbanah. A 10-day-old baby needs Mila Midrabanan. So apparently this isn't really the point of contention in the Braisa. Ela de Kuli Alma Mashach Derabanan. Apparently all agree. Well, we can say that all agree that Mashach is only Midrabanan. Marasai. On the other hand, the Katan Shavar's Manai, of course, is Dairais. Right? The Katan passed the eighth day. It's his first Mila Midrabanan. So what's the Machlekes? Between Tanakama, who insists on these procedures being done by day, and the other Shita, who says Bayim Balayla. V'achaba Kamiflagi, it's a question of Darashis. Mar Savar Darshinan U'Bayim. Tanakama says we focus on the extra vav, uva yayim hashmini. It's not only is a conventional bris milah bezmani to be performed by day, even these types of exotic brisin take place by day. Umar sabar le'darshin and b'yayim, but Elazar Shimon disagrees. We're not derish the vav. That's just his shita. And unless it's bezmani, we don't care about daytime. So bottom line is, the Brice is unrelated to our discussion of whether Moshech is the Rice or the Rabbanon. Of course, all agree with Rav Huna, it's the Rabbanon. It's a fundamental shaila regarding Milo Shle Bezmanoi, that we need daytime or not. And in fact, this is certainly the point of Machlekes. We'll prove it with the following episode. Kiha, as we find in the following story, Rabbi Yechon was sitting with Kadarish and teaching as follows. We know that any leftover from a carbon noisar has to be burnt. The pasuk says you burn it by day, by yom hashlishi. What happens if it's past due date? Do we need dafka day or even at night? Similar discussion to Mila. Rabbi Yechon was sitting with Kadarish and saying as follows: Noisar biz manoi. If you're burning it in the right time, right after the expiry date, then Eino nisraf el b'yam, certainly you burn it by day. Shalei b'zmani, but if it's already past expiry date, nisraf bein b'yam b'malai, you burn it whenever you want. That was a chiddush of Rabbi Yechon. Ve'eis v'Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, an Amira, a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon, asks the Rabbi Yechon from a Brice, from Bris Milah, where we see that even if it's past due date, we still have the same halach of b'yayim. Ein li elal nimol ushmini. She'ein nimol el b'yayim. Perhaps only the 8-day baby has his milah by day. Menayin l'rabis l'tish l'asar l'chadasa shnei masa. What about a child who's getting his bris on day 9, day 10, 11, 12? Rashi brings based on the Gemara Shabbos. We have all kinds of situations. He was born b'nash masha, it's Shabbos, etc. Sometimes you can't do it on the 8th day. Do we need daytime or not? Tamad loymar u'bayayim. The vav, the extra vav. You need daytime. End quote. This is the Braisa. And Rabbi Leza added, va'afilu l'man de loydarish vav. Even if some Tanoim ignore the vav, they don't use it as a drasha. And therefore, when it comes to Mila, if it's past the 8th day, we don't insist on doing it b'yayim, because we don't darshan the vav. But by noisar, it's different. It says v'ha noisar, an extra vav, and hey, vav, hey. Certainly, when the Torah extends itself to that extent, darish. All agree that this drash is valid. Even a noisar shalei b'zman, it needs to be burned by day. This is Rabbi Lezer challenging Rabbi Yechonon. No, even noisar shalei b'zman needs to be burned by day. Ishtik, Rabbi Yechonon was sort of silenced. Barsa Danafik, after Rabbi Leza left the room, Amalei Rabbi Yechonon Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechonon turned to Rish Lakish with admiration. Wow. Reisi Leben Pedas. I just experienced Rabbi Leza Ben Pedas. She Yoshe V'Dosh. He's sitting and presenting forth Kim Moshe P'Agvur, like Moshe Rabbeinu from Hashem. Wow. He's darshan the katana, the vavs, and the haze. Wow. I'm impressed. Amalei Rish Lakish. Shlakish tells Rabbi Yechonon, Didehi, you think it's his personal drasha? Mas nisahi, it's actually a braisa. Hechatanali, where did he learn it? Beteris Kayanim. It's a braisa in Teris Kayanim. Nafak tanya betlase yemi. So Rabbi Yechonon went out and quickly learned the whole Teris Kayanim in 3 days. Vilsavar betlase yarchi, and he expounded on it, and they learned it in depth for the next 3 months. The Rav Shrider Goyin in the letter writes that you see from this Gemara that, you know, in those days the Amoraim didn't necessarily immerse themselves in the brises of you know Safra, Teres Koyanim, and as you see from our Gemara, Biyechon was not familiar with this brisa, and after he found where it's to be found, he went and he looked at it and he learned it in depth. So bottom line is, we were looking for a sort of a taliyah that Rabbi Huna's chiddush, a Moshech, a Rabban, is really Machlekes Tanoim. It appeared that this was the point of Machlekes. The Gemara pulled away from that. All agree, perhaps, that Moshech is only the Rabbanon. There's a side point, another question, whether Milo Shloi Bezmano needs to be done by day or not. Amar Belazar. Here comes a new halach. Orel Shehiza has Osek Shira. Yesterday we learned that an Orel could be Makabali Hazor of the, you know, the Eifrachat, the Paraduma water. We had a Raya from the Bnei Amidbar. What about an Orel performing Hazor on somebody else? Is he allowed to come into contact with the Mei Paraduma, which is very susceptible to Tumor, very delicate? Does his Hazor count? Yes, it does. Kshira. Why? Midi Dehava Tful Yom. Later on, the Gemara will tell us a chiddush. Even a fellow who's a Tful Yom, he was tabled from a Tumor and he's awaiting sundown. He's sort of in between Tumor and Tahara. We learn that a Tful Yom is allowed to handle the Paraduma. So although Sha'afopi should usher betrumo, even though a Tful Yom may not touch truma, still kosher bepara, he can engage with the paraduma. Likewise, the oral, even though he is not allowed to get involved with truma, he can't eat truma, certainly, but still he can go ahead and get involved with the paraduma. Asks the Gemara, how could you compare? Malo tful yoyim shenkin butu b'maser. You see, a tful yoyim has an advantage over an oral. He'll have to partake in maser sheni. Right? A tful yoyim can eat maser sheni, Rashi says, based on the Gemara later on. A tful yoyim can eat maser sheni, something that an oral can't. So how could you compare? Says the Gemara, otu anan la'chilu kamrinan. Since when are we speaking about eating? We're not discussing the concept of achila, of truma, achila of maser, in which case you'll say, well, tful yom has an advantage over an oral, he eats, he doesn't. Anan l'negiyo kamrinan, we're speaking about handling, touching. In which case, tful yom can touch maser, and so could an oral. Right? There's no advantage whatsoever when it comes to handling. Tful yom and an oral in the same boat. And therefore, we should indeed allow an oral to come into contact with the paraduma water. Why? Anan l'negiyo kamrinan. We're focusing on coming into contact with this material. And we'll say, uma tful yom she'asar b'negiyo de truma. Actually, it's a kal v'chomer, which allows the oral to do it. Because a tful yom, you can't even touch truma, mutar b'para, he can touch para. Oral she'mutar b'negiyo de truma, an oral can handle truma. No reason why not. Of course, he should be able to handle the para. Tani nami hachu. We have the same in the price. Orel shehiza has asak shir. Even the orel who did the hazov of the paraduma water, it's fine, it's valid. And Tosis points out the chiddush here is, why would I think otherwise? Because perhaps I would say, you know, just like an orel can't eat truma, can't eat kachim, he's equated to a tame to a certain extent. And therefore, perhaps he can't touch the paraduma water. The chiddush is no. Sure, he can. He shouldn't eat the truma, etc. But he can handle the paraduma. In fact, umasahoya, we had a story to back this up, that an oral did hazah v'yichshiru chacham hazaaseh chachamim, upheld his hazah. Meisvei, here comes a kasha from a brisa which seems to tell us otherwise. Tumtum shekideish. If a tumtum, a fellow who's simonim are covered up, concealed, gender unknown, he was involved in Kiddush. Kiddush doesn't mean Mekadosh and Isha. It means taking the Afer, the ashes of the Paraduma, and mixing it together with water. That is considered being Mekadosh the water. Kiddush Apostle, it doesn't work. Why? Bipneshu Safik Orel. There's always a chance that he's a Zachar, in which case he didn't have a bris. V'Orel Pasol Kaddish. Orel may not do Kiddush. What about V'Adroiginus, the fellow who was a joint male-female situation, Shekidesh, he does the Kiddushin on the Mei Paraduma, Kiddush Kasha works, because according to Tanakama, even an Isha can do Kiddush Mei Chatas. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says, an Isha is not fit for the job. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, based on a Pasuk, Af Adreganus Shekidesh Kiddush Psulim, this Adreganus can't do the Kiddush, Vipnei Shasafak Isha, because he might be an Isha, Isha Psul the Kaddish, and Isha can't do Kiddush, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara. End quote. Kitani Mia. In any case, that what does the Brisa say? That an oral. What about an oral? An oral cannot do a kiddush paraduma, right? It says oral v'safek oral pasham lekaddish. Apparently, an oral has no business dealing with paraduma. So how can you tell me otherwise? Amar Rav Yosef, oh, it's a big machlokes. You may remember we had a discussion way back in the beginning of the perek, 3 days ago, regarding the source for the oral not eating truma. We had Rabbi Lezer, Gzeira Shava from Pesach, right? We had Rabbi Kiva, ish. Any man who is tummy cannot partake in truma. The double lashon ish came to include an oral. An oral and a tummy are sort of on the same boat. Apparently, Rabbi Kiva considers an oral to be a variation of a tummy, some form of tummy. And likewise, by the paraduma, he's treated like a tummy. Don't get involved with the paraduma. Amar Rav Yosef, hi Tana. You know who the author of this brice is? Tana de Rabbi Kiva, that's Rabbi Kiva, the marbi leil oral katame. You consider an oral like a tummy, the sanya, Rabbi Kiva, oime, ish. The rabbi is a oral. Oh, so according to Rabbi Kiva, of course. An oral and tummy are synonymous. Just like a tummy can't handle paraduma, likewise an oral. But the other shita is Rabbi Lezer, who is not going to equate an oral with a tummy. Perhaps an oral can go and do the azov of the paraduma. Amar Rava. Rava disagrees. You're going a bit too far. Just because Rabbi Kiva considers an oral to be like a tummy with respect to eating truma, is that to say that he would consider him an oral regarding other halachas? No, not necessarily. Amar Rava have a yesivna kameder of Yosef. When Rav Yosef presented this teretz, he aligned the brisa with Rabbi Kiva, ad akashi v'kashili, because leilishtamit tana. Why is it that we don't find anywhere a tana who would actually equate the two things? Leilishtamit tana. Wouldn't the tana go ahead and say, v'lisni ha'oral v'atami, that regarding other halachas of tumah, an oral and tumah are equated? And we would certainly blame that, so to speak. We would attribute it to Rabbi Kiva. We don't find it anyway. Apparently, says Rava, it's untrue. We can't go that far. We took it a bit too far. Sure, Rabbi Kiva says, ish by achilas truma includes the oral as well. That's a unique halacha specific to achilas truma, but elsewhere, when it comes to touching things and all kinds of other halachas, we never find, says Rava, that Rabbi Kiva considers an oral tantamount to tummy. And therefore, this price, which doesn't allow an oral to get involved with the Efer Parah, that must be explained differently. Apparently it's a Chumrah Paraduma, where Machmur, all kinds of Chumrahs, we don't want to allow the oral to get involved. Asks the Gemara V'loi, is that so? V'aktani ha'oral v'atami, p'tur min ariya, we have a brisa, which seems to equate the oral and the tummy. They're both pata from mitzvah sriya, bringing a carbon on the ayamtiv, because just like a tummy can't arrive, an oral can't either. He's considered like a tummy. He shouldn't even send a shliach, he shouldn't come himself. He's like a tummy. Oh, so somebody equates the two. Perhaps a rekiva. Hasa mishum demois. No, over there it's based on a different criterion. We have another consideration. It's moist. It's unbefitting for the oral with the, with the oral skin to come into the Beis HaMikdash. All that, it's not appropriate. So he's potter from coming, from sending. And as Tosis points out, perhaps even the Rabbanon would agree. Afilu Rabbanon moidu hasam the potter. Or perhaps they would agree on this point, disagree on, whether the Mo's factor is so overwhelming and disallows him from being involved in Riyas. That's a side question, a side discussion, unrelated to Paraduma. Therefore, Rava maintains, when the Brisa says an Oral should not be involved in Paraduma, it's absolute, it's a Chumrah, the Parah, it's the Rabbana, or Machmer, all types of Chumrahs, and all agree. An Oral should not be involved, and therefore he disagrees with Rabbi Lezer's Chiddush, an Oral can do Hazor. No, this Brisa indicates otherwise. Okay, so just one more piece here. Who is allowed to do Kiddush Mechatas, which means taking the ashes and mixing with the water? According to Tanakama, an Isha is okay. According to Abida, Isha is not. V'ozul Tamayu, both shitas are based on their respective opinions elsewhere, based on Psukim, Desanya, Hakol, Ksherim, Lakalish, all are allowed to do this Kiddush, Chutz Mecheresh, Shoytev HaKotan, except for these three cases. Rabbi Yehuda says, a katan is okay, Machshir B'Katan, but Upaisal B'Isha Badreganus. So Tanakama says an Isha is fine, a katan is not. Rabbi Yehuda says a katan is okay, and Tosis points out that he's Davka Machshir B'Katan as opposed to the Cheresh V'Shoyt. He says because a katan will eventually become an Ish, he's a potential adult, so he's on his own plane, he's mutter, but an isha not. And likewise, an adragnus, which has an element of an isha. My time at the rabbana, why do rabbana say an isha is okay, a kata not? Rashi points out that before this pasuk, we have a discussion of asifa sefer. So there were several stages to this process. They would gather the efer, that's asifa, which is only kosher for an ish, says v'asaf ish tahar. And then comes the pasuk and speaks about taking the ashes and mixing it with the water. V'lakhu l'tamei ma'afar shevet achatas. And the rabbanan say, look, it's the same individuals. The same one that did the asifa does this. The one that couldn't do the asifa, i.e. a katan and isha, the isha at least. Again, what do Rabbanan hold? Everybody except for the katan, right? It says va'asav ish tohar. Ish is not a katan, right? By the asifa, you need the ish, an adult, not a katan. But the word tohar actually, Rashi points this out. The word tohar, va'asav ish tohar, is allowing the isha. And when the pasuk continues that they take the ashes and move it along, it's the same individuals. Hanach the pasli ba'asifa, the ones that can't do the asifa, i.e. the katan, pesul and bekiddush, can't do the kiddush as well. It's two parts of the same process. Hanach the ksherim ba'asifa, the individual that can do the asifa, i.e. the isha, ksherim bekiddush can do the kiddush as well. So it's sort of synonymous. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lachi says no. In Cain, if both processes were equated, name a krua, the pasuk would just say v'lakach, he takes, the same fellow who gathers takes. My velakhu, why does it say velakhu? It sort of switches its reference. The afilu harach the psulin hasam, even those that can't do the asifa, ksherim hacha are mutter in this case, meaning the katan who couldn't do the asifa can do the kiddush yachi isha nami, so then be machshir the isha as well. V'nasan v'levinas. No, v'nasan is limiting only an ish, not an isha. V'rabban. What did the Rabbana do with Rabbi Yehuda's diyuk? Why does it say v'lokchu, which sounds like it was switching tracks, was switching handlers? Ikos of v'lokach v'nosan, if it would say v'lokach v'nosan, havamina, I would misidentify, misrepresent, misread the pasuk. I would think, shokol chad v'yav chad. V'lokach v'nosan, the same fellow that picks up the ashes, has to apply to the water. Only that same person, it's one continuum. Kosev rachmana v'lokchu, that's what the pasuk says, v'lokchu, you can have many people involved. V'kosev rachmana v'lokchu v'nosnu, if the pasuk would say v'lokchu v'nosnu, havamina, I would say, davka, you need two for each job. The shakli tray, two people have to lift the ashes, v'yavi tray, and two people have to place it onto the water. It needs to be done with companionship. Kosev rachmana v'lokchu, Chuvenosan, that's what the pasuk switches. It's v'lok chuv lashon rab, and then venosan to tell you, you know what? None of this is required. You don't need the same person doing both, and you don't need two people. That filo shakli trev, you have ichad, you have two people taking, one person placing it. It's okay. So bottom line is, each one has a source for his chiddush. One more thing, v'hizah hatar al atame. So the person who is clean, he takes the water and sprinkles it on the tummy. Isn't that pashut? We're talking about mechatas. Mechatas. It's going to become tummy. It has to be tar. Why does the pasuk have to stress that a tar individual should do it? Actually, the pasuk is teaching us you're allowed to downgrade. You don't need a full-fledged tar. The word tar indicates mechlal shu tummy. He has some slight element of tuma within him. He's not completely tar. He can't do certain things, right? But he can do the paraduma. Limei, this teaches us, al tvul yoyim. Even a fellow who's a tvul yoyim, he was tummy, he had tvila, but not yet, herev shemesh, not yet the nightfall, shekashe bepara, he can do the paraduma. And this is actually the chiddush of the Chachamim, but the Tzedukim gave them a hard time, and that's exactly why they would go through this whole process, they would actually be metame the Torah, send them to the mikvah to prove, to demonstrate that, yes, we believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, even its full yayin can do the parah duma. And that's actually why we have all kinds of chumras. Rashi and Yumadav, I think that Zayin Beis tells us that all the chumras that we find in parah duma is exactly because of this. Because they would be metamim. They didn't want to create an impression of laxity. Look, we're not so careful, metamim. Because they had to do that. They were compelled to be metamim to oppose the tzedukim. So they counterbalanced it by adding so many chumras and so many hidurim to highlight the chashivas and importance of the paraduba and how a Torah has to be kept. Okay, we had an easy daf today. We started with the halacha of the mashuch, the fellow whose arla is sort of concealing the area. Rav Huna says we have to tend to it, but it's only midirabbanan. But even so, for the time being, we treat him like an arla, no teruma. We had a braisa discussing mila shalei bezmano. Typically, a mila is b'yayim. What about shalei bezmano? Past the 8th day, Tanakama says b'yayim as well. And Rav Shimon says b'yayim b'alayla. Tanakama draws from the extra vav, which teaches us to include this case as well. What about an oral? Can he do the azov, the efer para? Rav Leza says yes. The Gemara actually comes out that according to Shita's Rabbi Akiva, an oral and a tame are on the same level and should not be doing the efer para. Rava says lekuli almanat, because it's a chumra, it's a hidur in para duma. Regarding the kiddush mechatos, Rabbanan say an isha is okay, a katanat. Rabbi Leza says a katan yes, an isha not. And concluded that a Tvul Yoyim, of course, can handle the Paraduma. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.